Well, it's nice to be here with you today. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, mainly because I couldn't sleep, but caught a plane and flew up here from St. George. And, you know, I'm often reminded about what an amazing place this is to live. I mean, St. George, I love it down there. And with SkyWest, which is a St. George company, I can be up here in an hour. And one of the coolest things about Salt Lake City is the fact that the airport is 10 minutes away from downtown. I mean, literally 10 minutes away from downtown. And those of you that have traveled around know that that's just not something that's very common in this country or in the world. And so I appreciate the fact that I can get back and forth to legislative meetings and things like this in one day and back home. I appreciated Brad Wilson's insight, but he's totally screwed up. I just want you to know that. His memory of timing is a little bit off. And if you're the speaker or the president, trust me, you have a lot of control about how things flow through the process. That bill that came up last year, the equalization bill, there was no way there was 5 minutes, because here's what happened. I stood up and said, I'd like to propose a substitute, and then the gavel came down. And it wasn't like we had 5 minutes to talk about that substitute. So, oh, I thought you were gone, Representative Wilson. I didn't mean to say you were screwed up. Just your sense of timing was a little bit screwed up. Anyway, I'm just going to give a 30,000-foot view of the budget. I see lots of my legislative colleagues here. This will seem like kind of a review for you, because you're used to seeing these charts, and, of course, we talk about the numbers a lot during the session. But I just want to kind of give you some perspective of the big pots of money. So, first of all, in terms of the spending, and I was asked, as Billy said, tell us what we get for $16.8 billion. So you can see the big pots of money here. One thing that's interesting to note is that this year social services actually became a larger portion of the pie in terms of spending than public education. You can see that they're very close. But social services is higher. Higher education is 13%, and then you can see the rest of those things. I won't go into too much detail there, but you can see transportation is 10%. That's the other big piece of the pie. So that's where the money goes from 30,000 feet. Then the other question, of course, is where does the money come from? So this is, again, a summary of where the money comes from. Again, I will point out that federal funds, for the first time in the history of the Utah state budget, is the biggest piece of the pie. And this is largely due to entitlements, most notably Medicaid. Education is 25% education fund. Now, when we say education fund in the state of Utah, we're talking about income tax, because 100% of the income tax has to go to education. The general fund is 15%. When we talk about general fund, we're talking about sales tax. Sales tax pays for all of the, you know, the general government services and so forth in the state. You've also got dedicated credits and other. Those typically are fees that people are paying that go into specific restricted accounts and are used for those restricted purposes. So when we go into the legislative session, what we end up dealing with most of the time is, again, what we call the education fund, the income tax, and the sales tax, and that represents $7.3 billion. All of the other things are impacted by what the legislature does, the tax policy. You see the term TIF over there, T-I-F, that's Transportation Investment Fund, and that basically is earmarked sales tax as well. But that's pretty well set aside to go to transportation. So when we get to the state legislature, for the most part, we're dealing, and this past year, most of our efforts dealt with the $7.3 billion that came in from income tax and sales tax. And so if we look just at that $7.3 billion from money that's generated in the state, this is how that looks in terms of our spending. So when we say that half of the money in the budget goes to public education, this is what we're talking about. Half of the money that we generate in the state, almost 46% right now. It was over 50% a few years ago. But 46% of the money that we generate in the state goes to public education. 15% to higher education. You can see another 15% to social services. So most of what we spend in the social services arena is matching the federal requirements on those federal programs, those entitlement programs. But you can see that in terms of the money that we generate in the state, it's a much smaller portion of the pie, only 15% of the state generated funds. And then you can see the other things listed there. I won't spend a lot of time going into that. So who got the new money that came into the budget this year? And I'll talk a little bit about new money in the next slide. Again, most of that went to education. $459 million of the $806 million, which is an amazing number, I realize, went to education. That's public and higher education together, representing almost 60% of the budget. I would like to point out on this slide, and we'll talk about that just a second later on, you'll notice the orange slice on the left side, 11% of our budget this year, 11% of that $806 million went into rainy day funds. So over $80 million. We're taking the rainy day funds seriously. We realize that this wonderful economy that we have right now is not going to last forever. We hope it will, but it probably will not. In my time in the legislature in 16 years, I've been through two deep recessions, and I can tell you it's easier to be in the legislature during a recession because nobody expects anything, but it's a lot more fun to be in the legislature when there's lots of money. So how we balance? So this again is the $806 million that you saw on the other page. Ongoing revenue growth, the new money that we had in our budget was $508 million this year. We had one-time money of $184 million. Now, that just means in the current year that we're in right now that ends on June 30th, we're running way ahead of where we thought we were going to be. We had an extra $184 million that we felt like we could spend primarily on one-time things. The federal tax reform also brought us additional money. Now, Representative Wilson said that the taxpayers in Utah are going to have on average $1,400 more in their pocket. That's with respect to federal tax. You will be paying on average across the state a little bit more just because of the way the federal taxes impact our tax returns. And so that's another $80 million. The property tax changes that Representative Wilson talked about, the equalization and then the indexing of the property tax, the basic rate we call it, the only property tax levy that the legislature directly sets, that brings in $55 million to go to public education. Fund balances, money that was out there that we pulled in from some of the funds. And then the reallocation and tax changes, that's the tax cut that Representative Wilson talked about. Now, the slight change in the income tax from 5 to 4.95% is that $50 million, or most of that $50 million. The sales tax, the single sales factor, is actually going to be phased in over 2 years. And so that isn't really realized here, but that's another $27 million statewide. You know, it affects different taxpayers differently, but that, in terms of the state dollars that we're looking at, that's another $27 million of tax savings to Utah businesses. And then what did we do with the money? And this is somewhat of a reiteration of the chart. The public education got $280 million, higher ed $179, social services $61, and you can see the rest of that. The formal rainy day deposits, $85 million. So Representative Wilson talked a little bit about just the fiscal management in the state. And we do have the benefit of having a very conservative legislature, and even things, as he talked about, the slight bump in the real estate taxes, the property taxes, was a very tough thing for a lot of legislators. It was a tough thing to get through, and believe me, I understand it. It's hard for me to be the sponsor of those things, and yet you have to, in my opinion, look at the overall purpose. And most of what we did went to, most of that property tax is going to equalize for those districts that just can't generate very much money at the local level because of their low assessed valuation. Here again, we talked about the rainy day funds. Another thing I want to talk about, and this is again part of the conservative philosophy. So $67 million of the money that we had that we consider above trend money, ongoing money, went to pay off some debt that we had. In the 2017 session, we funded three buildings, higher ed buildings, but we funded them over 3 years. University of Utah Medical School building, a building at Dixie State University, a human performance building, and then a building at Weber State, science building, I believe. So what we did this year, we said, look, we've got extra money. Let's don't carry that debt. Let's pay that all off right now. So we took another $67 million. We already had $20 million from the previous session that we had set aside ongoing for buildings. This year, we set aside another $67 million for buildings. So now, coming into this session in 2019, we have $87 million set aside for buildings, essentially. That's a one-time expense. So we have this ongoing money built in for one-time expenses. Well, we can fund the first $87 million of higher ed buildings next year without very much pain. But the thing is, if the economy changes, and we don't have the revenue that we think we are going to have, the very first pot that we go to is that money right there. And that's why in the legislature we refer to that as a working rainy day fund. That's essentially what it is. It's another rainy day fund. And trust me, if we need to go to that, we will. In times when we don't have revenue, we simply do not fund education buildings or department buildings, state department buildings. And that's another, I think, very conservative way to handle that budget. Another $46 million of cash from debt service savings we allocated to the prison. Essentially, what's going on is the prison is going a little slower than we thought. We haven't had to issue as many bonds as we thought we would have to issue to build the prison. So we have savings from debt service that we don't have to pay. So rather than spending that money, we're going to spend that cash on the prison, which will ultimately mean that we have to spend less on the prison. And then there's just, we call them cats and dogs, a couple of things that we fixed with some small amounts, if you can call $1 million or $2 million small amounts. Education, I don't know if I need to read through this. I'm not sure if you can see that from the back. The point is that we put a lot of money into education. That was a priority for us. I would say that every year we come into the legislature, that's an important priority. We use terms that may not necessarily be familiar to all of you. The weighted pupil unit, the WPU, is the basic funding mechanism for education in the state of Utah. That's basically one student going to school all year long. Now, if you have a student with special needs or something like that, that student could actually represent two or three weighted pupil units. But that's basically how we fund education, is through the weighted pupil unit. You may hear this term flexible allocation. Representative Wilson talked about some of the negotiations that were going on. They were happening right to the very end of the session. We needed to have a place where we could put money and then kind of decide what we were going to do with it later. As far as education, that went into flexible allocation, which will essentially be spent just like the weighted pupil unit. It will go down to the school districts and the charters in exactly the same fashion. And you can see some other things, $10 million for digital teaching and learning. That's a state initiative to try and get more money into the classroom, more technology rather into the classroom. One thing I also want to point out, you saw the fairly large piece of the pie that higher education represented, and that is completely thrown off by the fourth from the line that's fourth from the bottom, $168 million for new facilities at colleges and universities. That includes our technical college, two buildings. There's only $32 million of state budget going to higher education for the actual operations. Most of the money every year, especially in years when we have surpluses like we have now, most of the money that goes to higher ed is actually going for buildings, not for the actual operation. So. And then social services, My time's probably up, but let me just say that if you look at that top line, $22.1 million, actually $25 million, just to keep up with the caseload growth in Medicaid. So that's a big chunk of the pie. And, you know, we signed on to Medicaid years and years ago in the state of Utah, along with nearly every other state. And we do have obligations because we are participating with the federal government in Medicaid. So that's a big challenge for us. I'm just going to skip through this. Had a big fire in Bryan Head. That was an issue. We gave state employees salary increases. So there you have it. I just wanted to put this slide up there and just let you know. Those of you that are here, including my legislative colleagues who have seen this before, you have an abnormal interest in tax policy in the state of Utah and in the budget. And I just want to point this out. If you go to budget.utah.gov and then you click on what's called DataViz, this chart comes up. And it's interactive. And you can roll your cursor over any one of those bubbles in there, and then you can click on it and you can go deeper into that specific portion of the budget. The fiscal analyst office in the state of Utah is absolutely amazing. They just do great work for us. They're on the cutting edge, I would say, of technology and of transparency. So as taxpayers or interested citizens, you can go to this website and you can just get amazing information. And then if you want to, you can download the state of Utah budget. It was 418 pages, I think. That's some nice light reading if you are finished with all of your other recreational reading. So anyway, that gives you a good idea, I think, of a summary of the state budget. And I'd just like to congratulate my legislative colleagues that are here for another great session. Of course, it's tough. But at the same time, I feel like we did some very good work, and I really want to express my appreciation to all of you for that. And to all of you in the room that are taxpayers, we appreciate the good work you do too, because we really wouldn't have a reason to meet if it wasn't for you. So there you go. Thank you.